Morning Watch, Day 4. Upholding the truth and testifying to the truth, that the church is the pillar and base of the truth, and the corporate manifestation of God in the flesh. Week 5. Related verses. 1 Timothy 3:16. And confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh, and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 14:10-11. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak from myself, but the Father who abides in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if not, believe because of the works themselves. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. 1 John 1:2. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Related reading. In 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, Christ is presented as God manifested in the flesh. Not only was the Lord Jesus the manifestation of God in the flesh in the past, the church today should also be the manifestation of God in the flesh. The word godliness in verse 16 means God-likeness. Hence, this verse indicates that human beings may have the appearance, the expression, and the manifestation of God. In the context of this verse, the phrase, the mystery of godliness, means that God in his mystery can be manifested and expressed in the flesh, in human beings. The transition from the mystery of godliness to he implies that Christ as the manifestation of God in the flesh is the mystery of godliness. God's manifestation was first in Christ as an individual expression in the flesh. The New Testament does not say that only the Son of God was incarnated. Rather, it reveals that God was manifested in the flesh, indicating that the entire God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, was incarnated. Therefore, Christ in his incarnation was the entire God manifested in the flesh. According to the Gospel of John, the Word, who is God, became flesh. The Word who became flesh, God, manifested in the flesh, is God's definition, explanation, and expression in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh not only as the Son, but as the entire triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Through incarnation in human living, God was manifested in the flesh. The expression in the flesh means in the likeness, in the fashion of man. Christ appeared to people in the form of man, yet he was God, manifested in a man. When he lived on earth as the God-man, he did not live by his human life, but by his divine life. He lived a human life not by his humanity, but by his divinity. He lived as a God-man, yet not by the life of man, but by the life of God. Hence, his human living was not lived out by the human life, but by the divine life. He lived by always rejecting his human life, by always putting his human life under the cross. From the first day he lived on earth, He lived a crucified human life, not by his human life, but by his divine life. His human living did not express humanity, but divinity, in the divine attributes becoming the human virtues. This is what Paul meant in 1 Timothy 3 when he spoke of Christ as God manifested in the flesh. All of his days on earth, Christ put himself on the cross. He remained on the cross to die so that he might live by God, not to express man, but to express God in his divine attributes becoming man's virtues. Since today we are his reproduction, we should live the same kind of life. To follow Jesus is to live the life of a God-man, not by the human life, but by the divine life, in order that God may be expressed or manifested in the flesh in all his divine attributes becoming the human virtues. This is the intrinsic significance of what it is to follow Christ. As God-men, we need to live a life not by ourselves, but by another one. Not by our human life, but by his divine life. Not to express ourselves, but to express his divinity in his divine attributes, which become our human virtues.